Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our live monthly Q&A with Sinton's Wills, Trusts and Estates team. I'm David Pritchard, Head of Marketing here at Sinton's. Joined again today, glad to welcome him back, by my colleague Edward Paddington, who is a trainee solicitor in the Wills, Trusts and Estates team here at Sinton's. And this is our first podcast live Q&A session that we've done in January. So happy new year to everybody. Hope the festive season was fantastic for everyone. And we're absolutely delighted to be back here recording again in January 2024. What we're even more delighted about is the amount of people that have tuned in this morning. We've got record numbers. I haven't actually told Ed that just before we went live, so it doesn't put any more pressure on him than normal. But yeah, we have record numbers, so thank you once again for the amount of people that are tuning in to this session. Just moving briefly through the slides there in front of you, I put Ed's details on the screen there. As I said, he is your speaker this morning and he's a trainee solicitor in the Wills, Trusts and Estates team here at Sinton's. Same format as with all of our previous sessions. We're going to answer three questions that you've put to us across the course of the last month that are important to you and you would like us to answer. So they're there on the screen in front of you. For those people who are listening in podcast format, I'm going to read them out for Ed shortly and he's going to answer them. So just Ed, quickly, good morning. How are you? Did you have a good New Year? Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, no, it was really good. Just settling back into it now. Yeah, had a couple of weeks to settle in, so starting to get going. So yeah, I think I'm ready to answer a few questions.
Excellent. Okay, well, without any further ado then, question one for this morning. How important is it that my will is signed correctly?
Yeah, so short answer, it's really important. You know, if you don't execute your will properly, then it can just lead to problems down the line. You know, when your executors are trying to administer your estate. So what you want is you want your will to be valid. That is the goal. And if your will is correctly executed, then it is recognised as a valid document. So to make a valid will, these are the main points that you need to consider. Is it needs to be in writing and it needs to be signed by you. Or it could be signed by someone else under your instruction if you can't do it. So say, for example, you know, there's the situation where you can't sign your own will. So, you know, you put all this good work into drafting your will. You're ready to sign. And then a couple of days before you fall off your bike or something and you break your arm. I don't know, something like that. But you can't sign your will anymore. So you could instruct someone to sign it for you. But you just need to be mindful of this because you'll need to have clear evidence showing that you've told them to do that. And it's sort of common sense, really, why this provision is in place. Because, you know, if you never needed evidence for someone to sign your will, then people could just go around drafting wills and signing wills for whoever they like. So, you know, it's common sense, really. But just bear that in mind, that if you are instructing someone to sign the will for you, then, you know, you need that evidence to back it up, just in case someone comes along and thinks, you know, something's not right here. I'm going to need to see some evidence for that. Another point to mention as well is, you know, when you're providing your signature to the will, you need to be intending for your signature to give effect to the will. So, I mean, it goes without saying, but, you know, your signature needs to be for the purpose of giving effect to your will and nothing else. And I would also say the most important point is you need two or more witnesses present. So when you sign your will, they need to be present and they should also sign the will as well in your presence. And this is a really important point because you do see people in practice who they've had a will drafted and then they'll have one witness sign it and be present for it. And that just leads to the problems down the line. And, you know, you've done all that hard work and then you've just sort of fell at the final hurdle and it's a shame. So you just need to make sure that you get that right. So, you know, in this case, It seems like you're ready to sign your will. It sounds like that's what it's meaning by the question. So if you are ready, once you're ready, just get everyone together, gather your witnesses, just get yourself all in the same room and just get the will signed and get it witnessed. And, you know, it's relatively straightforward. It sounds like a big task, but really all you need to do is just all sit together in a room and just get it done. That being said, though, you do need to be mindful of of who your witnesses are. So, for example, if a beneficiary in your will witnesses your signature, then they can't receive any benefit to them in that will. So say, for example, you've made a will and you're giving your son your house, right? And you think, right, my son lives nearby, might as well get him to witness my signature and be a witness. So I'll get him round and we'll do that. Well, because he's a beneficiary, if he signs that as witness, he can't receive any benefit under your will. So again, you wouldn't be able to pass your house to him. So that's a really important thing to be mindful of as well. And this can apply as well to a beneficiary spouse or civil partner. So say, for example, you're thinking, right, I can't have my son witness my will, but I'll just get his wife because she lives with him. You know, she's nearby. Let's just, you know, she can come round and be a witness. Same applies here. If she witnesses the will, then the beneficiary being your son, then can't receive any benefit. So just be mindful of that. You need someone who's independent, and, you know, that's why, because they're just closely related to your will. You need someone who's independent from it to witness it. So with all that in mind, just be mindful of who signs your will and in the way in which they sign it. You know, as I've mentioned before, it sounds like you're ready to sign your will. And so if you've got a solicitor who's been drafting your will, then they'll be able to advise you on how it's done. You know, they know exactly what they're doing. They'll be able to tell you, you know, how it's done and how it's signed properly. And, you know, it comes to general advice really about drafting any document. If you're unsure of what to do, just put your hand up. You know, if you've got a solicitor helping you, just ask them, you know, I'm a bit unsure on this point. Could you just tell me a little bit more? And they'll be able to point you in that right direction. Because as I say, if you've drafted a will, you've drafted an amazing will that does exactly what you want it to do. And then you fall at that final hurdle, which is just the signature, then it would just be a big shame. So just be mindful of the requirements that are needed. And as I say, you can always just ask for help from your solicitor or whoever is drafting your will. All right. So I'll now answer our second question.
Okay, thanks for that. So question two, I've heard that if I make gifts to charities, the gifts can be exempt from inheritance tax later down the line. Is this correct?
Yep. So you're on the right lines. So that's certainly true. All gifts to charity, whether made by a gift in your lifetime or in your will, regardless of the amount, will be exempt from inheritance tax. So, you know, as I just said, you can make a gift to charity in your lifetime. But if you'd rather just do that in your will, then you can just do that via a legacy or a gift of residue. And then the amount given to charity in your will is basically it will be deducted from the calculations that are made after you pass away to figure out whether you owe any inheritance tax or not. And there's also a really good thing to mention about this as well, and not a lot of people know about it, is that if you leave at least 10% of your net estate to charity in your will, then the rest of your estate can benefit from a reduced level of inheritance tax. So it will reduce in that aspect from the standard rate of 40% to 36% to the rest of your estate. So in that sort of aspect, you can tell that if your estate is pretty big, then that's worth looking into. If you're wondering what net estate means, It's essentially your estate minus things that come into play after you pass away. So these will be things such as any debts, any funeral expenses, any inheritance tax exemptions or reliefs that you've already used, and your available nil rate band. So again, just be mindful of this. If you're leaving anything to charity in your will, you know, if you're already close to that sort of 10% mark, it might just be worth boosting it up a bit just to benefit from that reduced rates that would apply. But again, this will depend on your circumstances. So if you've got a solicitor advising you, just ask them about it and see if it will work well for you. And you know, to save yourself the endless maths that you could be going down trying to figure out whether you're going to hit that 10% mark, in your will, you could just use a formula rather than a set amount for the gift. So you could just say, for example, I'm leaving a gift to this charity of an amount that will enable the reduced rate to be available on the rest of your estate. And then, as I say, it just saves you doing that mental gymnastics trying to figure out whether it's going to hit that 10% mark when you pass away. So that's probably a straightforward way to do it. So as I say, definitely worth looking into, you know, if it's something that you're interested in, especially because you can use the benefits that I've just mentioned. You know, you're already doing a good thing, gifting to charity, but you can also make use of the inheritance tax exemptions as well. So again, it's pretty much a win-win situation. But again, it'll depend on your circumstances and your financial assets and your estate and what you hold. So just make sure just to ask your solicitor about that. All right. So I will now answer our final question.
Okay, so third and final question for this morning. I'm looking to make a will. How precise do I need to be when identifying who receives what from my estate?
Yeah, so you need to be really precise, really precise. You need to be clear where you're identifying your beneficiaries in your will, because otherwise you run the risk of it failing for uncertainty. So in that situation, you know, they wouldn't know who to give your gift to because it's just not clear who you're gifting to. So in this case, you know, it's always an important thing. Just state the name, state the address of who you're gifting to. And if you can include their relationship to you as well, help massively. And whilst I'm on that point, whilst I'm talking about the relationship to you, where the gift is to a person rather than a group, I wouldn't just specify them as their relationship to you. So let me just give you an example to illustrate that. So if you were giving a gift to my niece, you know, how many nieces do you have? How many are there? You know, this, you could have a load of nieces and people don't know who, which niece to give it to. So, you know, in that case, give the full name, give their full address, and then they'll know who to give it to. So it saves them thinking, is it the niece that, you know, lives over in Tynemouth, or is it the niece that lives over in Hexham? You know, it sort of gives them that, you know, that information they need to give the gift. That being said though, if you want to make a gift to all of your nieces, then you know, if you state the gift is to my nieces, then it's not going to suffer that same problem. But I'd just be mindful of when you're saying that it's normally seen as a gift to the children of your siblings rather than to the children of your spouse's siblings. Because, you know, people don't really take that into account, that you've got nieces and nephews on both sides. So again, just have a think about that, because you'll need to be, you know, quite specific. And again, as I say, the more specific you can be, the better in that case. Another really important thing to note as well, and it can fly by people, is that the identity of the person who fits the description, if they change, then it's the person who fits the description at the date of the will that's going to be seen as the beneficiary. So again, just to give another example, just to help illustrate that point, is if you gave a gift to your daughter's husband, so they're your son-in-law, right? Then, you know, if at the date of your passing, your daughter has had a divorce with this son-in-law, she's moved on, there's been a big hoo-ha, now she's got a new husband, then that gift is going to go to that ex-husband. And, you know, you're not going to want that, are you, really? It's just common sense. So you need to definitely bear that in mind when making your will. And again, as I say, relationships change over time. You know, people can go through certain life events. They can get married. They can, you know, get divorced. These sort of things can happen. And these life events can change your will. It can change the effect of them. And you don't really want to be caught out, really. So just keep an eye on these things as they come along and just have a look at your will and just think, does it still do what I want it to do, given the circumstances? So again, as I say, just cap it all off. Identifying your beneficiaries, extremely important in your will. You'll need to list all your details, as I've just said, accurately, just to avoid facing those problems down the line. And again, as I say, being specific is key in this point. So, you know, when you make your will, and I'm not sure if you started making your will yet or you're already drafting it, just take the time out, just cross the T's, dot the I's, make sure that you're doing everything right. And then you'll just have that peace of mind that later down the line, your will is going to do exactly what you want it to do. And then just periodically just check in on the will and just see if when circumstances change, is it still doing what you want it to do? That's the main thing. Okay. So that concludes our questions for January. So I'll now hand you back over to David.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed listening to that. They were really good questions and really concise answers. So thanks for taking the time, Ed, to sort those out this morning with us. Very quickly for me, we continue to work hard to produce, release, deliver useful and relevant content, articles, podcasts, blogs, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And that includes all 16 episodes of this live Q&A session with Sintons Wills Trust and Estates team. For people watching this in a video format, I have just popped Ed's details back on the screen there. But for our podcast listeners, Ed can be contacted via email, edward.pattinson@sintons.co.uk. And via telephone 0191226 7855, should you wish to get in touch with him or indeed a member of the team to discuss anything that's been raised today in this podcast or in previous ones where we've been joined by Lauren. Just wanted to mention social media as well. If you haven't had enough of us by that point, you can follow the team on Twitter at Sintons Law and at Sintons PC. I did mention at the outset, we've done 16 episodes of this series now, so we're just about a year and a half in. And as I say, I did mention at the outset, the amount of people that are continuing to send their questions in. We have a whole backlog of questions that we're trying to get to each month. So thank you for those. But for the amount of people who are listening live, but then the people who are tuning in afterwards and just for generally engaging and sending your comments. So we value it. We have gone into 2024 very excited about what we're going to do and bring to you this year. We are glad that this continues to add value to you. That's enough from me. We will speak to you again at the second working Friday of February. So we will see you then live 10 a.m. on Teams with Ed, with Lauren, myself, and another three questions. So thank you once again. Stay safe, everyone. Enjoy January, and we'll speak to you soon. Thank you.